Welcome to Holy Fools and the Soul of Craftwork. I'm Jesse Joyner.
And I'm Steve Gross. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the previous episode in which we interviewed veteran, teacher, and custom woodworker Jake Bates, good idea to pause and give that a listen because this one's based on that one. So what can the craft of teaching teach us? Jesse, what were your initial reactions? What were your thoughts to Jake's interview?
I couldn't help but be struck by his comment when he was telling his story of being in his drug dealing days. Yep. His story of, I think he was in a philosophy class at the time during some of those days. And part of his assignment was to read the Bible. So he said, I was reading my Bible, ... And then later in the day, he is dealing drugs and there happens to be a child present. And it was in that moment that the verse that he had read came to his head and his heart. And it was the verse about, you know, it's better to be, thrown at the bottom of a lake with a millstone tied around you than it is to lead one of these children astray. And that verse was only in his head and heart because he read the Bible in the first place. So I was struck by the juxtaposition of the Bible reading drug dealer. That's what I like to call it. And no matter where we're at in life or what we're going through or what your life looks like, how up, down, good, bad, if you're reading the Bible, it's going to fill you with things that can transform you later that very day, you know, which it did for him. So I found that very moving. Yeah.
Amazing. How about you? Transformation. You know, when Jake, he shared also the story of getting hit by one of his students, and at that moment he wanted to crush that kid, but one of his fellow teachers de-escalated him in that otherwise would have been an emotional response, possibly even a career changing response. But I think that that's such a good word for us in the sense of isolated work is usually it's less productive at times, but it's also less resourced. And so that's one thing that the teaching vocation, I think, offers the other vocations. They tend to have more of a system of shared work, apprenticing system where veteran teachers work with newer teachers. And Jake's done that as well. So that stuck out to me, especially if you're a Christian, because if you're working in a vocation, it's really through shoulder to shoulder contact that credible looks at the gospel are recommended through you. Bill Peel wrote a book called Workplace Grace, and he puts this good quote in there. There's no influence without contact. And you saw that in Jake's story, where when there was a school shooting in a neighboring community, he was able to share peace and hope with some of his colleagues. Shoulder to shoulder work. Again, we've been talking about that over a number of episodes. How might you be a convener for people in your workplace or your vocation to go deeper? So that spoke to me. And then when we asked Jake, for you as a teacher in a secular public school setting that can be inhospitable to a person of faith, how do you operate there? How do you do faithful work? And I like what he said when he said, a Christian can always serve. The opportunity at school to serve others in a Christ-like way is never closed. And that's true. And I think it's good pushback, not just to people in the teaching vocation, but really in any vocation. If you're a Christian, sometimes we have the kind of boohoo attitude of, you know, it's not a Christian setting. It's not a church I'm working in. But the truth is to serve people well, like Christ did, nobody usually complains to that. And so I think Jake takes that servant mindset and that's a rich one for us.
Yeah. It makes me think of just the discipline of just showing up for both those things you're talking about, the showing up to be in the presence of your colleagues and your vocational community speaks volumes and it brings a lot of good fruit, but also just showing up in terms of being a gospel presence in your workplace and not giving up hope and not giving up opportunities that come your way. Being open.
It is pretty winsome to be a worker in the workplace who's willing to do the work of washing feet or whatever that dynamic equivalent is in your workplace, to do the thankless work or kind of the grubby work that nobody usually volunteers for. That has a credible witness. Like people, they notice that, and it's as powerful probably and more powerful than words at times, that kind of servant mindset. So Jake is, he's living that in Iowa. So how about learning concepts? So what did the interview dredge up for you in the way of learning concepts?
I made mention of this in the interview with him, where I pointed out that his calling story was not a straight line. It was a meandering back and forth, in and out, up and down, long way around the barn kind of line to get to where he's at now. And I believe that a good learning concept that all of us can take from that is that that's okay. And that's actually even becoming more common in today's world of work, which this book that I referenced a few episodes ago, again, it came up here as I was contemplating all this, but it's Bruce Feiler, The Search, Finding Meaningful Work in a Post-Career World. And he says the same thing. His research came up with the same findings, that work in today's world is no longer linear like it used to be. Mm-hmm. And that was work in America in the 50s, where you would either go to college or learn a working mm-hmm. trade and stick with that career for the entirety of your life. And it was a very simple, straight line path. That's just not happening anymore. I mean, it is for some people, but for a lot of people, technology is changing so quickly. The world of work is changing. The landscape of everything having to do with work is changing so quickly that it forces us in the workplace, whatever industry we're in, to be adaptive, creative, nimble, to take mm-hmm. turns here or there or the other. And that's okay. We don't need to get down on ourselves if there's a lot of changes in our work lives throughout our experience. So Feiler said this. He said the idea that a traditional career that follows a linear path has been obliterated, like mm-hmm. in today's world. The most important thing to appreciate about the world of work today, he says, is that it's meaningfully different from any world of work that came before it. We're all trying to survive in an environment that's more chaotic, and a stress environment that's more around the clock. To think of work primarily in terms of a single employer, a single profession, even a single skill set is deeply misguided. The world is no longer linear. To expect work to be linear is a mistake. You know, people might think, well, AI is coming for my job. And then they get all upset and they think their calling is over or something. I don't believe that. It doesn't mean it's something to get down about. It's something to adapt and pivot with. When there's what Feiler says in his research, he calls them work quakes. Like when something happens in our life of work that shifts everything beneath us and causes us to worry. And he encourages you to look down deeper into your own heart and calling and giftings and ask yourself, what should I do next? It's okay and it's good to be introspective and see where to go next. So I just, mm-hmm. I guess my learning concept there is just encouraging all of us not to be afraid of this kind of new world, like that it's okay. And that we all have stories of a windy way to our calling, which it sounds like his was, and it's a wonderful story. What about you? What's something that you took away that brings up the idea of learning?
Yeah, Jake is one of those people that has a couple of we all have lots of vocations, but his two that we keyed up on are his teaching and his custom woodworking. And then he shared a bit about the cross-learning that's happened between those vocations. So as a woodworker, he gets raw materials. He talked about getting some rough walnut from his neighbor and then having to do some of that open-ended thinking to consider, with this kind of wood, what might be the best thing for me to make and sell, or what would add value to other people. And so that same kind of open-ended posture toward vocation is also what he takes into the classroom. And so he talked about, you know, basically reading the materials of his workplace in the classroom and seeing, okay, there's a student with a Bible, or there's just been a school shooting, or, you know, this one student is serving everybody else. This is actually an opportunity. The materials that I'm being presented with in the classroom are opportunities for my faith and work to come together well. And then leaning into that, that's actually a good question for us to think about in our own vocations, whatever they might be, to ask, what is the context of my vocation giving me right now to bring my faith and work together right here? So that's a craftsman's approach. I recently read a book called Craft Learning as Perpetual Transformation. Tom Martin, as a part of his field study for his research, at Oxford, he apprenticed himself to two different custom boat building workshops, both in New England. And so kind of took a strange approach toward how learning takes place. So a concept that Martin discovered in the boat building shop was what he calls the well-calibrated eye of a craftsman. So though a novice boat builder and a veteran boat builder might be looking at the exact same material and the exact same workspace, they actually notice different things, different challenges, different opportunities, depending on the wood and how it looks and where the knots of the wood might be or different fracture points. They see things differently. And that's through experience. And so they'll see different flaws, but also different opportunities. So a veteran boat builder might see a flaw in the wood that actually means he can't go on and needs different material. Or they may see a unique opportunity in a flaw that they can actually make into a style point. And so that takes time. And I think Jake showed that as a veteran teacher, that he's really worked to develop that eye to see what's being presented and what opportunity there is in that for his faith and his work to come together in thoughtful ways. And so that to me stood out. And you have talk about your grandpa.
Yeah. My grandfather, you and I talked about this earlier. He recently passed away about a month ago. He was 95, lived a good long life. His name is Eugene Joyner, and he served in the Korean War as a tank mechanic. And then he came back to the States and worked an entire career as a car mechanic. And because he was so familiar with cars and all the parts of a car, he could look at a bolt of a car that goes into the engine. And just by looking at it, he could tell you if it was an 8-millimeter bolt or a 7-millimeter bolt. Like the size difference, nuanced size differences, his eye was so well calibrated. Simply because he spent decades handling these things with his physical fingers and seeing them and always screwing them in. And he could even look at like an empty gap, I think, and know, oh, an 8-millimeter goes in there or a 10-millimeter goes in there. And it speeds up your work too. When you can have that efficiency of the well-calibrated eye, you don't have to go sorting and looking to find everything.
No, there's no replacement for experience and learning in that space.
Yeah. Just doing
of
it.
Any vocation. Yeah. As a pastor who works with people, that's a pretty common question I get from people working in different vocations who ask, well, how should I witness, or how should I talk about my faith or be a Christian in my workspace? And it's a tricky question because in large part, I don't know. I'm not in that vocation. So I haven't developed a well-calibrated eye for how faith lands well in any unique workplace. And so it really takes a person who is looking to grow in faith and work integration, which is itself a high level craft. That's why we do this show. But it takes learning and trying and failing and learning and reflecting on why that worked, and then beginning to notice things that you didn't notice 5 years ago as a Christian in that workplace, because you're growing, your eyes getting more calibrated for where the Holy Spirit might be taking you, or what opportunity there might be to speak hope or peace or just serve in thankless ways. And so that really is a process of craft learning, how the gospel lands in your workplace. And no one from the outside can really tell you what faithful work looks like who doesn't have some sort of alignment with that vocation. And so it's important to talk to other Christians in your vocation if you can, but not to outsource the role of actually being a Christian in that place from somebody else who's not in that place, because you learn by doing.
And I'll add to that, Steve, what you're saying, if there are any researchers or students listening to this right now, this is an opportunity for further research. This is a wide open book for we need more research in the integration of faith and work in all different fields of work. You know, how do you craft the meaning of work and how your faith relates to it in XYZ job? And we could fill an entire library with each specific job or type of job and approaching it through that lens. And it's only been done with probably 1% of types of work out there, like this kind of research. So there's so much more work to be done. That's just my little plug for further research to anybody who's listening.
The challenge has been issued.
Yeah.
So let's talk learning challenges. So this podcast, we hope, informs you and maybe entertains you in some way, but also it challenges you to think about your own workplace practice and your own faith and work integration. So we will land on a couple of foolish learning challenges that you can action. And
I'm gonna cheat and say two. Jesse, number one, read your Bible. And you never know if what you read is going to come back to your head and heart later that day or later the week or month or years later and transform you the way it did for Jake. But the other thing that I want to encourage our listeners in is checking in on your colleagues, the people you work with, the people that you rub shoulders with in your vocation. Check in on them and see how they're doing and ask them how are you really doing, and let them share whatever they're comfortable sharing, but don't do the quick how are you doing and then move on. That's okay. Sometimes there's a time and place for that, of course, we all do it, but find time and space where you can stop and listen to how someone's really doing, because we all have stuff going on, we all have an underlying story, we all have things that we're dealing with. And you never know if the people you're rubbing shoulders with have some of the basic Maslow hierarchy needs not even met on the bottom level. And maybe there's a way you can help out if you just check in on them and give them the time and place. My pastor, he grew up in Africa, and he said one of the cultures in Africa that he interacted with would always... At the marketplace, you were expected to ask the shopkeeper how they were doing, and they were going to ask you the same back before you could buy anything. But it wasn't a quick, how you doing, good, and then give, you know, let me buy some plantains. It was tell me about your family, tell me about your business, how are things going, is everybody well, is everybody healthy? And it would be this back and forth for like a couple minutes before you could buy the product that you're wanting to buy. And that was culturally not just acceptable, but culturally expected to do that. It was considered rude if you didn't go through that, those pleasantries. Well, actually, I would call them meaningful pleasantries, up front.
So you were asking, how are you really doing, kind of opportunity. And that puts some edges on this, because it's a real discipline in our culture to create space and a ministry of presence to just care for somebody and have enough time to actually hear them out if they do share something. So that's a measurable challenge right there. So, in this week, how can you approach a colleague in the workplace and actually care for them just by being present?
Yeah. I'm listening. What about you? What's a challenge you want to give our listeners?
Yeah. Well, Jake, when he shared, he talked about getting ready for each day to be faithful at work. And he mentioned some of his own habits. So he talked about getting up and reading God's word, to your point. And then also he prays through the day ahead and then listens to some praise music. So it made me think of the stretching and warm-up routine that an athlete has. And it's really also probably some wisdom we can take from athletics, because decades and decades ago, an early football player, there's no stretching, there's no warm-ups, it's just strap on the gear, which is like a stocking hat, they barely had pads, and just grip it and rip it and hit each other. Well, sports science has developed in such a way that they understand now that our bodies are actually best and most prepared when we warm up, when we stretch. And so what's true in the physical is also no less true in the spiritual. So it made me think about our own kind of either pregame, rework, warm up, and stretching routine, as well as our cool down. So what is that? What can that be for you that you can grow in, whether that's getting ready for the day and praying over the day and either meditating on God's word or having a liturgy of commute? So there are ways to bookend the day by having, if you have a commute, make that commute meaningful. There are different apps that read through scripture and give you time to pray through that scripture, or to just turn off the radio and look at the different landmarks as they prepare you for the day and you think through your workers and your projects coming up. So to get the day started well at the front bookend, and then do something like a prayer of examine at the end of the day and kind of reflect. That's the cool down, is to think through, okay, what did I learn? What did I see? How did I see God working What am I thankful for? Maybe in what ways did I step outside the will of God that I need to repent of? And then how can I live faithfully tomorrow? So those things, those practices, I think can help set up the day well as reflect on the day and capture learning. A resource I would recommend, and we work through this with our Faith and Work interns that we have post-college interns, but we have them read the book, Working in the Presence of God, Spiritual Practices for Everyday Work. We'll put it in the show notes. And that's by Denise Daniels. And it does recommend some of these different spiritual practices that can orbit around your workday. So that would be my challenge. So what practice, what way of either stretching and getting warmed up spiritually, make your workday more impactful and more thoughtful and more spirit led, or how can you cool down? How about you, for you, Jesse, what would that look like?
Yeah. Some of the things that have helped me over the years what I've called for a long time, quiet time or devotions, different people call it different things. It's yes, reading the Bible. I mean, that's kind of the core, that Bible and prayer, but I try to be creative about it. And that helps me. Maybe that's just my own personality. I like to change it up and be creative. So it might look like sitting in a chair with my coffee and reading a scripture and praying through prayer needs, and committing my day to the Lord. But it also could look like a prayer walk, getting up and walking around outside. It could look like, sometimes I like to play the piano. I'll go sit at the piano and I'll play a worship song. And that's just scratching the surface. I'm sure there's many other ways that other people have. If you're listening right now and you have a creative way that you connect with the Lord or start your day or, you know, have a devotional, leave that in the comments. Tell us about it.
We won't read it, but you can send that carrier pigeon we talk about to Jesse's house in Virginia and Richmond. Yeah, that's a good word, though. Just to return to the athlete metaphor, athletes stretch in different ways. They have different warm-up routines, and that's going to happen, but you can't figure out what is a better routine for you without doing routines.
Trying them.
And seeing, what fruit they bear in your life. And mine, over the years, and actually over the past year, I've gotten an old hymnal, like the old red hymnal that was used in the church that I grew up in, and just hymns. And I just sing those hymns because I found that I need to sing the truth of God into my mind, and something's different when I sing. And I have a horrible voice, and I sing in the basement office that I have. My kids think I'm insane, I'm sure, but I just need to do that without any pride and just be like, I read the Bible. Yeah, and there's something about your own engagement when you sing. So that's been a part of my kind of my pregame or my warm up for the workday, and then doing some of the prayer examine stuff I've been trying out too. So for you listeners, our dozens of listeners, what could be a way that you either try to do these warm up kind of things to get you ready for your workday, or even reflect upon it afterwards? So yeah, try to make it measurable, actionable, and then learn by doing. That is the challenge. Okay. And then one last thing before we close is this. So you may have noticed, again, if you are in that handful of the chosen that listen to this podcast,
dozens.
So you may notice that we often put a hidden a dad joke into the backtracks of this. So a couple minutes in, so Jesse's not going to tell it now, but that's one of his vocations, is creating dad jokes. So you'll notice that as a feature in these podcasts, usually at the end, after the extra music, you're going to hear a little bit of a high level humor from a high level craftsman. So look for that too. Most episodes, I think. So we're going to have a good one, right?
I hope so.
All right, good. Well, until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
This episode of The Soul of Craftwork is brought to you by the Roaring Fork Fellows Program. Are you a 19 through 29-year-old interested in starting well in your career with a strong faith and work foundation? The Roaring Fork Fellows Program is a 9-month internship for young adults located between Aspen and Vail in the Roaring Fork Valley of Colorado. For more information, go to roaringforkfellows.com. Ready.
Now, do you want it?
Yeah.
So, Steve, do you like going to weddings?
Yes. I only go to the ones I officiate, but yes, I do.
Have you ever played music at a wedding?
Like myself personally?
Yeah.
No. Okay. That would be a loss. I just said I was a horrible, horrible singer. And
yeah, well, I have in it, like in a band. And I was playing music with my buddies at a wedding.
Wait, is this a story or a joke? I love it. It could be both. This is a great setup.
The bride came to us in tears and she cried, "I just lost my wedding band." I said, "Don't worry, we're right here."
Oh, perfect. It's an illustration and a joke. That was good.